So the Bills brought in a New York Jet via trade, Brandon Codrington, and they bring in a New York Jet reportedly via a former New York Jet, I should say, and then former Miami Dolphin most recently via practice squad. That is Mike White. And here to talk about both those things and the New York Jets, my guy Boy Green, host of Boy Green Daily, Manchild Show out in Syracuse. We love talking to him. Paul Esden, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Sal, I always love when we get to connect, baby. I wish the Bills and Jets played 17 times a year so we could talk on a week-to-week basis. But I love it, man. Anytime we could chat is great.
Yeah, you're right. The first time they play this year, on Monday night in New York, once again, the way they opened up last year. Hopefully, for both teams' sakes, it turns out differently. And I say that because, obviously, you know, last year, being in that stadium when Aaron Rodgers went down, it was so tough. As a football fan, right? I'm on the sidelines covering the Buffalo Bills on the radio network, but, you know, just, what, five, six, seven plays in, you would know better than me.
Four.
Four. Yeah. There you go. Sorry. He goes down, and it was just such an air out of the balloon of that stadium, obviously. No one really knew what was happening. And then the Bills wind up losing. The Jets beat them in overtime. The season doesn't go the way the Jets want. They don't have, you know, the quarterback in place. So hopefully from both standpoints there, you know, we have a better game that we can kind of judge these teams on.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I think it's almost like a virtual agreement between every team. Like, hey, no injuries, right? No injuries. Okay, great. Let's line up, lace them up, and let's go. So 100%, that's how I feel. I feel bad for Buffalo since you twisted me about four plays in and make you get that number up. Matt Milano, man, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
The league is a better place when Matt Milano's in it. I'm preaching to everybody something everyone already knows, man. One of the best linebackers of football, one of the best players on the Bills. He deserves more love, quite frankly, from the national media. That sucks, man. That's especially after everything he went through last year. It's brutal.
Yeah, for sure. And unfortunately, it is the nature of the business, these injuries. The Bills have one at their quarterback position, Mitch Trubisky. So reportedly, they're going to sign Mike White to the practice squad. And then we'll see. Does he get elevated or does he even take the spot of Trubisky, who goes on IR? We'll see how all that plays out. But you're very familiar with Mike White as he spent time, obviously, in New York. We saw him play even over the last couple of years. What can you tell us about his style of play?
He's a big boy, man. He's 6'5". He's got the size you look for. He's a former high school pitcher, threw 90 miles an hour back there in high school. He has a rocket arm. That's one of his calling cards when he came into the draft. He was a fifth-round draft choice a bunch of years ago. He's just a big guy. But when Mike White is operating at full flower, Mike White is running a system. He's running an offense. His first career start with the Jets is when the Jets beat the Cincinnati Bengals 34-31. That was back in 2021. That was the year the Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl, and he set all kinds of records. He was 37 of 45 in that game at 405 passing yards. Like, it was this crazy game, and people go, whoa, he must have been Patrick Mahomes out there. But really, he was just taking what the defense gave him, and that first game was picturesque. That is vintage Mike White when he's rolling and he has things around him. Maybe you could say that about any quarterback when they have things around him that they can do it. But that's where Mike White is absolutely best. So a lot of Jet fans around here, even media a little bit, said, ooh, maybe Mike White practice squad for the Jets, because you can never have enough quarterback insurance. But I wouldn't blame Mike White if he had options to go to Buffalo for everything you're saying with the Trubisky thing. I'm sure he sees the path to get back in it, and apparently he's pretty comfortable in the AFC East.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for me, I look at it too. I mean, who better to run the scout team that week two game against Miami? The Bills play the Cardinals September 8th, and then 5 days later, they're in Miami. They're going to have to get up to speed very, very quickly against Miami, and this is a great scenario for a guy that was just with them all of training camp in the offseason.
Brain drain, baby. Some people look at it sideways. I don't. It's part of the game. Bill Belichick did it for 1,000 years. You bring guys in, and I think, to be honest, I think it's more than just a token move here. I think Mike White could legitimately either be QB3 practice squad or path to QB2 for the Buffalo Bills, and you feel great about it. But even to your point, the short weeks, Jets have 3 games in 10 days off the start of the season.
Yeah.
So 100%. When you get these kind of opportunities, you get a guy in Mike White who had been around Mike McDaniel for a year and a half, I think that's invaluable. 100%. It makes a ton of sense for the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a great advantage, I think, heading into that game.
When you look at Mike White's stats, 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, is that because he's a gunslinger? Is he making bad decisions? Why do those numbers pop out?
I think the bad thing about Mike White is it is a little bit when the snowball starts rolling downhill, so to speak, and all of a sudden all hell starts breaking loose. So he could get a little bit in his own head that, you know, I noticed, you know, in my own answer of the Bengals start, you're like, ooh, historic. I cherry picked stats. I didn't mention that he had two picks and he nearly had a third in that game. So, you know, he could get a little loose with some of the turnovers. And I think he gets in his own brain. He does not have short term memory loss. If he makes a mistake, that can often lead to multiple mistakes. So really, again, it's situation. It's the confidence. I think that's a big thing for Mike White. When he's playing well, the confidence is high. When the confidence wanes, something doesn't go his way, that's where things can kind of collapse. And that was, you know, that was evident throughout his Jets tenure. He ended up being there for like 4 years, 2019 through like 2022.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, through that time, no real rushing stats. Obviously, with Josh Allen here in Buffalo, you'd love a carbon copy to not change the offense, but it doesn't look like White ran the ball. What about an athlete, though? Can he move around back there?
Yeah, there is some movement. I would, you know, this is the only time I'm sure I'll ever compare him to Tom Brady, but there's the slight pocket adjustments. Tom Brady was never that. Lamar Jackson, but it's a little,
right?
You know, a little shimmy. It's like one of those dances, you know, you're doing the sauce. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. He could do a little bit of that from a pocket movement standpoint. But again, it's not going to be that Spider-Man meme where Tobey Maguire's like, wait, what is that? And then he rubs his glasses and looks, oh, Josh Allen. That will not be happening with Mike White.
All right. Paul Esden joining me here on the Wester Hotline of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Boy Green Daily is his Jets podcast, and you got an up-close view of Brandon Codrington, the Buffalo Bills' new return man. So the Bills basically move on from Daquan Hardy. They bring in Codrington for a swap of late-round picks in 2026. So basically the Jets said, okay, we'll give them to you. So why would the Jets want to move on, and what kind of player are the Bills getting?
Man, I think some Jets people are kind of not Jets people in the building, but Jets people outside of it, kind of nervous. Like, man, that's kind of, seems kind of weird to gift wrap this guy. He's a smaller guy. He's only like 5'7", maybe 175 pounds soaking wet. He's a smaller guy, but he's got a great story. He was an undrafted free agent. He tries out in the rookie minicamp in May, makes the team. We're keeping an eye on him. Again, technically speaking, on the depth chart, he was the reserve to Michael Carter II. So he could serve that role behind Taron Johnson a little bit over there in Buffalo as at nickel reserve. But beyond that, I don't know how much from a defensive standpoint he's going to bring to the table. Again, he's incredibly small, and there wasn't a big sample size from the preseason of great play. We're like, oh, okay, there is defense he could bring here. This would be, again, I'm going to compare it to another guy that the only way of comparing him is in this light. Devin Hester, he was a receiver on the stat sheet, but he was a returner.
Right.
Codrington, you're bringing in as this return specialist. And boy, the juice in the preseason was exciting at a 63-yard kick return against Carolina. And after the game, he was telling a lot of the media, I love the new kickoff rules. He thinks he called it easier. They went, whoa. I don't want to say easier. Let me not make that a headline. He just said, I think it's better, man, because he basically described it as a long running play. And you could see visions, you could see lanes as things are developing. So, you know, I know a lot of people, it's an interesting issue where people are on both sides of whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Codrington is a major fan. He said it with his words, but also the production, both punt return and kick return. He did a spectacular job. So Codrington, an exciting return man, a dart throw. Why the Jets gave him away is I think they just didn't want to keep the extra corner. They had a little bit of a surprise with Jerick Bernard Converse, surprising them and making the roster, making them as their sixth corner. I didn't think they wanted to keep a seventh corner. So it was kind of a numbers game. Again, talented return man, a great dart throw for Buffalo, no question.
All right. So what about in the return game? Who do they have? Like, who are they replacing him with? If he was this dynamic return man and we saw what he did, why would the Jets be comfortable there?
So one guy you're intimately familiar with in Buffalo, Xavier Gibson, he's got the lean on one side. And then the Jets invested draft choices this year, and they've almost committed to that. So it's almost like, and Sal, I'm sure you could speak to this as well as I can, that teams have a plan. Okay, we're drafting this. We need this. We're drafting this. This fills this. And then you get surprised. Like Codrington kind of comes out of nowhere like, whoa. All right, we weren't anticipating that. What I mean, Malachi Corley was a third-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. Isaiah Davis, fifth-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. So Codrington had some competition for some of these situations, but the Jets were getting a little cute with how they used their rosters and starters. They sat out a ton of players throughout the entire preseason. So that gave Codrington maybe bonus reps he necessarily wouldn't have gotten if Corley and Davis and all these guys were playing the full amount of reps that they were supposed to play. So that was a pivot in in mid-moment from Sala as he was heading into the preseason. So, again, it's almost like Codrington kind of slipped through the cracks. The Jets committed to the plan of Corley, Isaiah Davis, Xavier Gibson, and a few of those kind of guys, and thus there was just no path for Codrington. If he couldn't contribute on defense outside of Michael Carter II injury, then the only way it was as a returner, and they liked other returners despite how well he performed in the preseason. The broken tackle rate, like, look at that for people
that
missed it. Yeah, I
saw Ryan Talbot tweeted about that yesterday. You might have the stats too, but I know Ryan Talbot, who covers the Bills here locally, you know, he had like 15 missed tackles or something in the preseason.
Yeah, on 8 returns. Like, good Lord, that means he's breaking two man's ankles at every return. Pretty good math there. So he's wily. And of course, you have to be when you're 5'7", 170 pounds soaking wet. You have to have a little bit of that wiggle. But he's just got great Ferrari, like 0-60, stop, go, see this, bang, bing, boom, bam. And again, when you look at some of the combine numbers and pro day numbers, he doesn't look exceptionally fast, but he's way faster in game with the pads on, which everyone prefers anyway, than you are in t-shirt and shorts. So he's just got really intriguing abilities. Squirrely, he's just a little bastard running around out there like Darren Sproulsing it all over the place. So he's an exciting player.
6 returns, 4 fair catches, 13.8 yards. One of the reasons why the Bills made this move is I don't think they were very comfortable with the decision-making of Daquan Hardy, a rookie. They were putting him here. That's tough in this stadium, right? We know that. The wind swirls. You know, it's a tougher deal here, I think, than it is in most places in the NFL. It's very challenging. What about decision-making, just fielding the punt, catching the punt? Any issues there?
Zero issues there this offseason. And again, even in moments that, like, for a guy like Brandon Codrington, remember, an undrafted free agent, you get a moment, you're like, we got to go. I don't know how many returns I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And despite that, you know, that thought process, that's me out watching the game. I'm like, boy, I'd be thinking twice and three times about that to make sure I get enough opportunity. I got to make a play. But sometimes the better play is not making the play. And he did that on kickoffs where he just called fair catches. He did that on punts where he had no wheel issues. So no muffing, no fumbling, no second thought. He had a lot of conviction, which I think is obviously what you want in a return man. He has it. He looks at his lane. He's like, okay, I got this. And he goes. So yeah, zero issues from that department.
Paul, I mean, as best you can, kind of tell us what's happening with Hassan Reddick, how we got to this point, how the Jets got to this point, and where it's going to go.
100%. You know, again, we had a chat a bunch of months ago. I couldn't remember here on the radio. And again, my concern was like, nah, they're going to figure it out. And then like a week goes by, they're going to figure it out. Right. And then it just, you know, I'm getting higher register, higher register, higher register. And basically, long story short, it is, this was a word in Jets land last offseason with leverage between the Green Bay Packers and New York Jets. We all knew that Aaron Rodgers was eventually going to end up there, but how are we going to get there on leverage? Leverage returns this offseason with the Jets having his rights. Again, Hassan Reddick is under contract. He is unhappy with making $14.25 million. He would like to double that figure and be in the $28 million range. The Jets are like, well, you're not a free agent, so you don't get to just command any number that you want. So there is an awkward kind of game of chicken here where the Jets hold his rights. He's been fined. We're here, you know, this week. He's just under $5 million in fines now. That is for skipping OTAs, skipping mandatory minicamp, skipping training camp. There was an optional discretionary fine that looks like the Jets exercised, plus obviously every game check of the preseason missed, which is an additional $2.37 million. So he's just under $5 million now. And obviously those numbers are about to get a lot heftier as we get into the regular season. And let's make this clear. If Reddick didn't show up all year and people say, oh, he's going to pull Le'Veon Bell, the Jets would hold his rights in 2025. So again, at some point, Reddick has to show up for a period of time for the season to count. I don't know if he's going to push it that far because right now Hassan Reddick is 29. He turns 30 in a month. Is he going to play 7 games this season, get 5 sacks and say, aha, I'm 30 turning 31 next year. Pay me, somebody. I don't think anyone's going to pay him the money he's looking for. So I think eventually the Jets win this, quote unquote, and he's going to show up. But I think it creeps into the regular season. It could be as early as skips week one. We see the Chris Jones last year, Chiefs, Lions, Chiefs lose. And then they're like, oh boy, let's get Chris Jones in here. Let's stop playing around. It could be the same thing. 49ers, right? They have Trent Williams. It could be that same thing. Misses week one, then goes in. I think what happened to that 49ers game, this seems like crazy ominous to say right from the get-go, but if the Jets are able to create a pass rush without Hassan Reddick week one and beat the 49ers, all of a sudden Reddick might come crawling back to one Jets drive. But if it's the other way and there's no pass rush and Brock Purdy's just sitting patting the ball all day, Joe Montana all over the place, oh boy. Reddick's like, yeah, I'm going to turn my phone on from vibrate to sound full on. I'm going to make sure that volume's all the way up. And then maybe the Jets are going to quickly bring him in and counter and give him what he's looking for. But long story short, it's an awkward game of chicken. Neither side thought it was going to get here. And now we're at this uncomfortable position right before the season.
I'm glad you brought up the schedule. That week one game is obviously a really big game. It's West Coast. It's Monday Night Football. After that, you know, Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota, very, very winnable games for the New York Jets. I mean, they should be 4-1 at worst, looking at the schedule. At least you never know. Denver could be better than we think, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have that Buffalo Bills game. They need to get off to a good start. The back end of the schedule gets a little bit tougher, but they have some opportunity here. That said, I think we all recognize it's all about Aaron Rodgers and his health. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he plays the full season, they're going to challenge. They have a great defense and obviously the weapons they have on offense. We know that if that's not the case, but let's just say, you know, otherwise, where else would their concern be? What would hold the Jets back other than Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, is there another place where Jets fans go, I just don't know if that part of the team is good enough to contend?
Yeah, it would have to be. I don't know if they have those questions right now because, you know, everyone's undefeated. We're all tied for first place in the AFC East. But it's the offensive line, of course, staying healthy in itself and playing up to snuff for that matter. So you have Tyron Smith, 33 years old. Morgan Moses, 33 years old. AVT's coming off a torn Achilles and the year before had a torn tricep. So back-to-back injuries have been thrown in there. Joe Tippmann had the yips. He was throwing snaps at the center position, pegging guys for selling hot dogs at the Jets practices. So, like, he had some yips early in camp. It seems like he's reined that in a little bit. And then the kind of quiet guy no one's been talking about, and that should be good news from an offensive line perspective, is John Simpson. So it is that five. If that five stays together, I think it's got top 10 potential. If it does not, oh boy, well, we all know what the floor is because the Jets had horrible offensive line play this past season. So really, it's offensive line just being there. They have a couple insurance policies. Obviously, Olu Fashanu was the 11th overall pick. He had a little bit of an injury at the end of camp, but it doesn't look serious. So that's ultimate insurance if Tyron or Morgan were out. So that's one area. And then I would say another one is wide receiver. Garrett Wilson's awesome. He's going to be great. Mm-hmm. But what about everybody else? Mike Williams is coming off a torn ACL. He did return to team drills this week. That's the last step before he's ready for week one. So he's going to have about a week and a half, 2 weeks of team drills before week one. So he'll probably have a package similar to last year when Jets Bills played and Breece Hall was on a bit of a pitch count. I think we're going to have the same thing there with Mike Williams. But put Mike Williams aside, put Garrett Wilson aside, Alan Lazard, Xavier Gibson, Malachi Corley. There's a lot more questions and answers as it pertains to that wide receiver room. So if, God forbid, anything happened to Garrett Wilson, he's Batman in this wide receiver room. But where's Robin? Where's the rest of the A-team, the Avengers, the Justice League? Where is everybody else? Depth, suddenly, if you start to squint at the wide receiver room, it doesn't look as great as it does on the surface.
All right. And finally, as we wrap up here, Paul, and I really appreciate your time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, I think I mentioned to you a while back, the two teams with the longest droughts in sports right now are the New York Jets and the Buffalo Sabres as far as making the playoffs. The other thing they have in common is they've gone through a lot of coaches. So we have a new one here again, a new one, and there's an old one, Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Coaches for the New York Jets. We've seen a lot of them. How early would it have to go bad for a change to be made? Or is it just simply, hey, it's Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, and at the end of the year, it's black and white. They either go to the playoffs and they're fine, or they don't and they're out.
Woody Johnson, in his ownership, 24 years of ownership so far, he has never fired a coach midseason. So history says that it will not happen. But, man, to try to describe how livid Woody was at the end of last year and embarrassed, again, all the primetime games that the Jets had, and it is what it is, that they were already in outside of future flexing opportunities for what was later in the season. Woody was embarrassed in all those primetime games. He was embarrassed when they go 3-4 games without an offensive touchdown, and the defense is holding, like, for a perfect example, they play the Falcons last year, you lose 13-8, and it's a brutal snail-paced game. The Jets-Giants one was another one, and Woody's just embarrassed and angrier on a week-to-week basis. So you can never trifle with a very angry multi-billionaire. Anything can happen, but history says it won't. But boy, it would have to be, I think someone's getting pushed in front of the bus, if I'm going to be honest, before we get to the solid. Hey, Sean McDermott, right? Ken Dorsey, You're out of here. All of a sudden, you have a fall guy. We all need a fall guy in life. Fall guy is Nathaniel Hackett, I think. If things are going bad on offense, and they have Aaron Rodgers, they have everybody, I think Sal was pushing Nathaniel Hackett in front of the bus. He's like, oh, well, I guess he's gone. Because he had done that before with some other coaches in the past. If things are going a little awkward and Woody's like, hey, what's going on here with the staff? He has sacrificed people before. So I think Nathaniel Hackett, to be honest, would be the guy, and it'd be somewhere in that first. Again, the Jets buys until week 12, but somewhere in that like first 2 months, if like there is something happening there, or maybe even shorter, maybe a month and a half for 6-7 games of the season, if the offense just isn't operating, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for Woody, and I'm sure he's going to want blood.
You're not a fall guy. You're a riser, pal. I love it. You're rising up.
Let's go, baby.
Love you doing your thing. Love listening to you, Boy Green. You can find him on the Man Child Show in Syracuse. By the way, opener for Syracuse coming up this weekend, right? Fran Brown, I know you're out there. You guys talk about him real quickly on that.
Yeah.
I think I love what he's doing recruiting-wise. We have to find out if he can coach, right? So that's gonna happen, you know, starting this week. I mean, the vibes are great, right? What are the vibes in Central New York from being close to it?
They're crazy, man. Yeah. Again, the recruiting has just been awesome. I can't, man. I have to go back to end of Paul Pasqualoni to get like the last golden era where Syracuse was cranking out crazy talent like the Dwight Freeney's of the world. And think about that. Like, God, Dwight Freeney, he just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's at least 5 years after your career. So all of that, he has been born and died. He's come full circle through his football career before Syracuse has been fully back. So the energy is palpable. The fans are really excited. But I think they have the same question you just said, Sal. Can the guy coach? He's never been a head coach before. Yeah. He's been a co-defensive coordinator once. Like, there's a lot of missing there, and they're going to get tested. I mean, week one, Ohio Bobcats 5. There's nothing there. But they played Georgia Tech week 2, who beat Florida State in week 0, a top 10 team in Ireland. So they will have a few tests. The schedule overall is pretty manageable. But yeah, energy's crazy. I think Syracuse fans are long overdue. They've been waiting. They've been craving a moment like this, and they think they have it this year, especially with Kyle McCord at quarterback.
Great stuff, buddy. If you want to listen out to Syracuse and hear the stuff on the Syracuse football scene, the Syracuse basketball scene, of course, you're not just covering the New York Jets. I know you love your Jets,
yes,
but you're out there in Syracuse. Tell everybody where they can find the radio show and online stuff for you.
100%. It's the Man Shout Show with Boy Green. That's a Score 1260, the dial locally. You can also find that at the Score 1260 app and the score1260.com. We're live Monday through Friday from 10 to 12. And yeah, you're right. We're talking everything. Jets, Giants, Bills, Syracuse, Yankees, Mets, you know, you're a Yankees guy. All that jazz is happening on the show, and all my Jet stuff. I'm live every day in the morning at 7:30 a.m. and excited. Ian O'Connor, the four-time New York Times best-selling author, will be joining me tomorrow morning to talk about his book, which I'm excited about. So, yeah, man, we're cranking it, baby. Boy Green Daily, wherever you find your podcast.
I love that. Love it for sure. Thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate you. We'll catch up, obviously, soon, I'm sure, before the Bills play the Jets in October at least.
Can't wait. Thanks, brother.